Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every one of us, true children of God, God is interested in every aspect of our lives. And because He is so interested, He wants to take the glory, Him and Him alone. Okay. Now, before you know what, praise the Lord. Let me also tell you this thing. I'm telling you, it can go even including sicknesses and infirmities you have. If your pastor is going to make a call for you later on, I will tell you, if not for me, will you be where you are now? It is my grace, if not for me. He will make sure you don't enjoy that grace from that man for anything. It is one day you'll be sitting down in your room, a desperation will come, and then you will cry to God, and the pillar of fire will come. And then you will stand up. And the day you will come and give testimony, you will see, you don't mention pastor name. You don't mention prophet name. You'll be mentioning him, how you cried to him, and he came and visited you. That's exactly how our God works. And so Gideon had 32,000 men. God is saying, hey. Tell them, anybody that is afraid of this battle, go back. You have any reason that you have that you cannot go for this battle, go back. The Bible says, how many? 22,000. Turn back. Remaining how many? 10,000. God looked at Gideon again and said, this 10,000 itself is too much. Let me tell you how you will separate the foolish ones from the wise ones. That's why I picked that example. Let me show you how you will separate the foolish ones from the wise ones. See where they will display their foolishness. Take them to the water. They are all thirsty. Oh, glory be to God. Tell your neighbor the water test. The water test. That water test is before everybody here today. Everybody sitting down listening to me now. We are all, every one of us, we are facing the water test. Okay now. And then by the water, they are all very thirsty, hungry, poverty, school fees don't come. You know, nothing, house rent, the landlords are worrying us and everybody. So, hey. I take them to the water and release blessings upon them. He said, anyone that carry water with his hand and drink like a dog laps. Keep it one side. Then the one that will go down his knees, put his head inside the water and drink, put them one side. Then the ones that laughed like a dog, lamb. He said they are the ones, and they were only 300. 300. 9,700 others. He said, tell them to go back. Why? Because as a soldier, you are supposed to watch and pray. A dog laps like this. The dog is sucking water, but the eye is looking far. But all those who say, they are there eating, and the enemy will come suddenly and take them on their way and finish them. Now, these are the two groups of Christians. Nobody is against prosperity, but there is a way. You pursue this prosperity to the detriment of your soul. You don't watch anymore. You may be a virgin, but you are foolish. Because why will you get enlisted into the army? You're going for battle and you're not watching out for the enemies. The Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're in a battlefield. And the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God. We are in a battlefield. Therefore, he said, watch and pray. You live your life anyhow. Prayer, you cannot pray. Study the Bible, you cannot study the Bible. It is only what you hear in the pulpit. So you believe anything anybody is saying in the pulpit is correct. You are foolish. Tap your neighbor, ask him, are you wise or foolish? Are you wise or foolish? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The carnal person, Romans chapter 8, let's open it. That is it. That's carnality. You are not spiritual. We are supposed to be spiritual. Romans chapter 8. Let me read it from verse 1. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. We always read that scripture, but please listen to it carefully. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see? Who walk not after the flesh, carnality, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That is why Ishmael could not make it. That is why Cain could not make it. That is why Esau could not make it. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. But it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. These are scriptures we underline in our Bible. But if ye are not, but ye, you and I today, because we are virgins, we are supposed to be wise, we have had enough, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trying to emphasize so that you just begin to place the position of the foolish virgins. Only the wise will understand God's plan for salvation. Only the wise will understand end time prophecies and their fulfillments. There is a divine agenda. There is a divine agenda. God has a program. The wise ones should every time be looking forward to which prophecy is fulfilling next. So that when events begin to unfold, you will now quickly run to the Bible to say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet. But you just stay and you're just going to church. Go and give tithes and offerings, and you know nothing more than prayer. Every mountain you know it, but no scripture in the Bible that you know. How can that help you to position yourself? That is the oil the Bible is talking about. Revelation. Understanding. Hallelujah. And every prophecy is here in the Bible concerning God's agenda. The program is in the Bible. That's why Daniel understood by books. He knew that he was not going to stay in Babylonian captivity forever. There is a prophecy that said it will be 70 years. And exactly as he spoke, it has come to pass. They are now in that captivity. And he began to calculate. He knows that you cannot be here forever. The wise Christians now, the wise virgins now, are busy preparing themselves. Come, concerning the coming of the Lord. How will he come? What are the signs of his coming? How did the Bible say he will come? And Daniel understood by books. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why only Daniel understood the handwriting on the wall before King Belteshazzar. Only Daniel. The rest knew nothing about what was written there. It was the end of a whole kingdom that was written on the wall. And we now, our own handwriting on the wall are the events that are taking place all over the world. And God so made it that by this end time, he already prophesied knowledge will increase. And through this scientific knowledge, everything happening around the world is just there at the click of a button. You are seeing everything, some of them live as they are taking place by the grace of technology. That lets you now begin to see the reality of the scriptures to make you take your eternal destination now more seriously, because as you look at this agenda, everything is pointing to the end of this era according to the scriptures. Oh yes. And you say, yes, you have believed until, like Esau. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I told you the last time also that Isaac and Rebekah, they are the fathers. They are those that produce Esau and Jacob. Am I correct? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I told you that the womb of Rebekah that produced the same father, the same mother, Esau and Ishmael. Esau and Jacob. I told you that the womb of Rebekah is a type of the anti-message movement. Until you catch this, those of you who say I am a follower of the anti-message, you may end up among the foolish ones. So, the anti-message has produced two groups of followers. There is no other type you can type the womb of Rebekah than the anti-message. Give me any other example you think that that thing can be typing. As far as the church is concerned. And when I catch that, fear catch me. The mixed multitude is in every move. In the womb of Rebekah, the end time message, we have the carnal ones and the spiritual ones. It is foolish to follow the star messenger of your day and still miss the message. And that's exactly the position of the followers of the ministry of William Branham, who believe that he is the star messenger to this age with a message. And I believe it too. But he came with a message. He did not come to present himself. Jesus Christ came to present himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Except you believe me, you will perish. If you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ was pointing to himself, being the sacrificial lamb. But any other person, we see them in the seven church ages. We see them in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. In the hand, right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven stars. They are messengers to the churches. Verse 20 tells us that. Messengers to the churches. Why are you more interested in the messenger than the message? You are foolish. Because you concentrate so much on the messenger, you miss the message. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is foolishness. Why? See all the nonsense they do. See all the nonsense they do. Now, be smart. Even this morning, you rushed to my office to remind me that you want to know the end of Esau. Now, know the end of Esau. Know the end of Esau. Hebrew chapter 12. You say you want to know the end. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 16 and verse 17. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. That word profane. And my Bible defines profanity as God dishonoring. One that dishonors God. As far as I know, for you to compare any human being with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dishonoring God. Therefore, everyone that is idolizing William Branham, you are a profane person. I should say it again. Okay, I'll talk it again. Praise the Lord. If you say William Branham is infallible, you are saying that he cannot make mistake. It is your own smart way of saying he is God. Because only God is infallible. You are a profane person. If you baptize in the name of William Branham, you are a profane person. You are profane. You are profane. Oh, you are profane. Very, very profane. If you are hanging the picture of William Branham in your altar, you are a profane person. Because William Branham has no part in the salvation of mankind. If you give the picture of any man, including the picture of William Branham, and kneel down before it and pray, you are a profane person. You are a profane person. If you take the quotes of William Branham above the Bible, you are a profane person. You are dishonoring God. So, where is their end? Or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let me break it down. For one morsel of bread, we're looking at Esau now. For one morsel of meat sold his birthright. There are ministers that left this church to go and set up man must work ministry for what they will eat. They are profane because they know what they are doing is wrong. They know. They saw the light. They were part of us here. They were preaching it here. They were going up and down in the street, dancing on the street and cause attraction and then distribute one your pastor. But when the proving time came, the hunger is too much. Now we follow this house, man. We don't get anything. No, I beg. Use what you have to get what you are looking for. And they went. That is one. Praise the Lord. I was discussing something with Brother Cosmos Maduka after the vigil last night. He brought my attention because we were speaking about how carriers of this entire message, believers of this message, have made it difficult for some of us to preach it. Because of the the way we are perceived by other Christians. They see us as cult. They see us as worshippers of a man. They make this difficult for us. Hallelujah. And he told me something. He said, everyone that deviates from this truth, from his own study, he said, look very well, Brother Moses. It is because they have a weakness they want to justify with a quote of the prophet. Number one, do you know that there are people who follow the ministry of William Branham and they preach polygamy? They preach polygamy. Yes, they preach polygamy. There are pastors that are holding the sermon books of William Branham, reading it, preaching it, quoting it, and they have two wives, three wives. You are a profane person. A profane person. A profane. Hallelujah. He's there in Sapele, either Sapele or somewhere. At Sapele. My brother was calling my attention, said, every one of them following that doctrine, he said, they have weakness of sex. So they use that to justify it, so that they will continue in their iniquity. The rest, why they must hold on to that? Because there's something Will Abraham said that they want to hold on to for personal gain. For instance, all of them, have you ever heard in the entire message anybody addressing himself as evangelist? Anybody? Prophet? Anybody? The only ministry we know is pastor. Because there's a quote they're holding on to, that all the tithe of the church belong to the pastor. So, when you are giving offering, there's a box that is the key is only pastor and his wife. Even deacons must not know what is inside. That one, that one. In fact, don't go near that area. Don't go near that area. They are holding onto it. Profane person. Prophet, one man, we collect it. How can God prosper that place? That is why they never go. See all of them, hungry looking, very hungry. Me here, this church is giving me monthly allowance. Are they better than me now? Forget this Gorimakpa. Forget this Gorimakpa. Look at me very well. Look at me very well. I look like a person when they suffer. Okay. If you want to know whether one man they enjoy, don't look at him. Look at his wife. If your wife no get body, you are not taking care of her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give your wife food to eat. Give her. Don't allow your wife to slim down. Don't allow. Chop well so that when they are going to say, that's my wife. You know, that's my wife. I will read it again. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. See, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know, that is where I am going. You say you want to know the end of Esau. For you know how that afterward, when he will have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with what? Yes, did he get it? No. With your sermon book in your hand, you will never make it because of profanity. Praise the Lord. He spoke about scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 says so. He says, search the scriptures. In them you think you have life. Our appearing to heaven is in this Bible. They are they that testify of me. Jesus Christ says so. Apostle Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Hallelujah. Be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 4, or is it chapter 4, verse 5, up to verse 9, where he spoke about, he said, get wisdom. Get understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, do what? Get what? Get understanding. And James chapter 1, verse 5, up to verse 8, read on your own. If you lack wisdom, he said, ask. Ask. He giveth it liberally. Ask. And he who asks receives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we all belong to the shout ministry. At midnight, there was a cry. It's the same shout that Apostle Paul spoke of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself will descend with a shout. Now we heard a cry, and we believe that cry is the end time message. It's the evening light. Come out of her, my people. Come out of denominational error. Come out of carnality. Come to the present light. But let me tell you, you heard a shout, but there is a right response to that shout, and there is a wrong response to that shout. And the way you respond will determine how you will end. There is a wrong response, and there is a right response. So, how are you responding? Take note. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Esau never got it back. The door was shut because he was not part of the program. That is why he said he sought it carefully with tears, but he didn't get it. And in verse 28 of Luke chapter 13, after he spoke, he said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No matter how Esau gnashed his teeth, no matter how Esau cried, he lost it. He lost it. Why? The door is closed. Salvation is over. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly go to this. Let me try to make you now understand Revelation 20, the three groups. Revelation 20 verse 4. So that you knock off totally the idea of saying there is hope for the foolish virgins. Listen very carefully, because it looks somehow a little bit technical. You know. Now you look at Revelation chapter 6. Let me just say that and hope to close on those explanations. Now, this is a Bible study. Listen carefully. This is for knowledge now. For knowledge now. Now, Revelation chapter 6. When you come. Amen. To the fifth seal. The fifth seal was open. Verse 9. 9 to 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, so the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Remember, they are one of the groups in Revelation 20, verse 4. And for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The same difficulty that you have is saying, wait, you are talking about vengeance. The vengeance will come only after your brethren will also be killed and then disturbed. They will suffer the same things you suffer. And the fact that they say, how long will you avenge? Let us know that they were not Christians, they were Jews. Because it is a Jew that believes in tit for tat. Do me, I do you. Under the law. Praise the Lord. And those that should be persecuted and killed like them, they are the same ones that are seen in the sea of glass in Revelation chapter 15. Open it. These are the group that the angel was referring to. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, 3, and 4. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Please, take note. Take note. Just hang it there. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 20. Revelation 20. So that you understand this verse 4 very well. It says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And that is one group. The second group is, and for the word of God. And the third group is those which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And these three groups, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, the group that we have beheaded for the word of God, they are the ones we saw in Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal, verse 9, where it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. So, this group are among those you see in Revelation 24. Am I teaching well? Now, the second group that you also see there is a group that did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And Revelation chapter 15, where we are reading, verse 2 again, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark. So this is, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So this group is also in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. They are another group. They are one of the three groups. So two groups are established to be in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Remember, they are the three groups that come to rule the earth with Christ. Group number one, praise the Lord, that we have seen, they are the group in the fifth seal. They are those that were killed by Hitler. Group, and they say, wait, because in the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70 weeks, they have the last half of that last 70th week is the tribulation period. So he's telling them, wait, because there is a tribulation coming, and another set of groups will suffer the same thing you people suffer. And those groups form the second group that will also come and rule in the millennium. You will notice that in verse 3, Revelation 15, he said, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Notice that they sing the song of Moses, this group. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. One group that refused to take the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast is taken after the rapture has taken place. Therefore, it is a strictly Jewish affair. But they are now singing two songs here. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. So they are singing the song of Moses because they is trying to identify who they were, that they were strictly Jews, because Gentiles will not sing the song of Moses. But they are singing also the song of the Lamb because they are Jews that have received their revival. They are now believers of Christ. Praise the Lord.